You all, you're bringing God's presence in here. It's the church, you know, it's the body of Christ and in manifestation. And you all are carrying Jesus on the inside of you. This morning we had a quick prayer with the worship team and we were just huddled together and Marianne started to pray. And I just felt the presence of Jesus was so strong and I just didn't want to pray. I just wanted to just linger there. And that's what happens when you get together. There is something, an effect happening because you all carry Jesus if you received him in your heart. And when you get together, there's just a strengthening, a refreshing. And that's what I'm looking for this morning again as I share God's word, what he laid on my heart. With you, the title of the message I put in is Acting on God's Word. And it's so important to hear. God, Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. And so if you are a sheep, if you surrender to Jesus, you will hear God's voice. Sometimes we are not aware of it, but it's so important when we hear his voice that we act on it. And so I want to just talk about that a little bit. And again, thank you for bringing the church here. It's, here my glasses. Yeah. So I just sense God, today he wants to tune in our ears to his voice. Because we love Jesus, we are surrendered to him. And sometimes I feel the enemy accuses us. Because see, even though we carry Jesus on the inside of us, we are still capable of doing wrong. We sometimes totally miss it and totally do the opposite of what we actually know is right. And sometimes we do it on purpose. Maybe not you, but... And then the enemy, what he tries to do, he will remind you of what you did last week. And he will even use people close to you to remind you. And that can cloud your vision, it can plug your ears, so to speak, that you don't have confidence that you actually do hear his voice. Or you lose vision of what he revealed to you. Because as you act on some of the stuff God spoke to me 20 years ago, I'm still walking it out because he spoke 20 years ago a specific word into my life. I'm still walking in that direction. And so it's so easy to lose vision, to lose the focus. But it's important that when God speaks, that we actually start moving in that direction and don't lose focus in that. Like, you know, Romy's not here, so if you could smile at me a little bit. Because Romy, she always smiles, right? And so I feel a little insecure without her being here. So, but you know, 30 years ago, I just got connected to Jesus, and I really wanted to follow Jesus. And with a friend of ours, Mac Lavoie in Whistler, Mark Leverton would know him. And you maybe remember Max. You do, yeah. So anyway, we started praying once a week on Wednesday night for revival. And I wanted to get married, and so we prayed for revival, and I felt I want to also have a wife. But it felt such a distraction to look for a wife because it was very hard for me. So I said, Max, can we pray for a wife? And I said, okay. He reluctantly agreed. And so we prayed, and within a few months, God sent Romy. And I really believe it's partly also an answer to the prayer for revival that he sent Romy. Because, see, when I prayed for a wife, I said, send me a woman that will not distract me from the call, that will actually cause me to be close to you. And Yomi really was that. She's such an inspiration to me. And well, I don't know why I said all that. but no, see, 20 years ago, God gave us, Max and me, we really wanted to see revival. We felt this generation needs to see a move of God. Like when we looked back on revivals in the past, and there were mighty revivals where people got born again by the masses and churches got filled like within a few years. And we're still praying for that. That was 30 years ago, and I'm in my heart, I'm still praying for that. That there would be a move of God in this valley, where people would just come under conviction, where people would just realize their need for God and encounter Jesus in a very real way. And this place would be filled, and other places would be filled, because God is moving in the hearts of and lives of people. And so when you have a vision, when you sense you hear God speak into your life, it's so important not to give up. To keep on praying, even though years go by. See, in 1,000 years from now, if you open a history book, and then they say, you know, in Pemberton, there were a few guys, they prayed for revival, and God answered, and there were signs and wonders and miracles. The reader in 1,000 years from now that reads the history book will not realize that there were 30 years, 40 years till it actually happened. And I think so often we read the Bible or we read history books and we think it just happened, boom, like that. We don't realize there were maybe years of labor, years of investing. Like the Hannah, when Jesus was born, how many years was she in the temple, fasting and praying? So that the Savior would come, right? And sometimes we don't see the years of preparation that were done before the actual thing that happened. And so I feel God wants to encourage each one of you to tune in afresh to what God spoke and also to be open to hear what He speaks today and then to act on it. It's so important. Because when we act on what God speaks and when we are faithful to what He spoke in the past and we keep pressing on, we will stir up passion as we venture into uncharted and neglected dimensions of the kingdom. Others, they will watch us and they will be inspired by us. Because we not all are called to pursue the same things. We have some are feel very strong about this, some others feel strong about that, and it's both from the Holy Spirit. And so it's important that you yourself push into and maybe find others that have a heart for the same thing and gang up with them together and keep being faithful and pushing into what God has called you to do. You will cause others to come out of stagnation and complacency into advancement. Because when you're faithful, we all have times and seasons in our life where we literally are stagnant. We are not really, it's like water that's not flowing anywhere. It gets polluted easily and no freshness is in it. No fish, no life can be in it. And so we all end up in places like that. But when you get around somebody that's moving forward, that has a fresh word from God, and then you get inspired and you too want to move on. You get stirred up. And that's why it's so important to get together. That's why it's so important when God speaks to you to have a ready ear, to write it down. Or if you hear a message that really kindles your heart, go back and listen to it again and again till it's really firmed up, that the voice of God is clear and that you're not letting it slip. It's so easy. Life is fast. We all are busy with 100 things, and it's so easy to forget. The enemy would try to steal the word that's sown into your heart, to steal it so it does not bring fruit. Because God is on the move to establish new things. He's never building the old again. He's building something new in this generation for this generation. It's about His kingdom, and He wants us to hear what the Spirit is saying today. I love the Bible. I love reading history books and church history and to study what God did in the past and what He said in the past. I even said, take promises that God spoke to somebody 6,000 or 4,000 years ago. I take it and I receive it as if He spoke it to me. And that's good. But I really want to know, what is He saying to me today? What is He saying today? Because it's His voice that will give us life. See, as great darkness seems to be released in this present time, we need to be aware that we have greater power. Greater is the one that is in us. than the one that's in the world. It's so easy to be focused on the darkness around us and get distracted of all the evil. Yes, we maybe need to engage in what is taught in the schools or in other areas. We need to maybe engage in it, but we never want to lose focus where we are. We are seated in heavenly places. We look from heaven down into the earth, and we have a great awareness that created is the one in us than the one that's in this world. Could you bring the first verse in Colossians 3, 1 to 3? Because that Paul wrote a beautiful verse. If then you were raised with Christ. And he talks about in the context there is about us being raised with Christ, sitting in heavenly places. So if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. So we want to always look to Jesus, look to Him, and not be distracted. Even as we are going into the dark places, even as we are bringing light into dark places, we want to keep our eyes fixed on Him, on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The main passage today is Luke 17, 26 to 36, and we're going to go there now and read it. And it's a sobering passage, and I remember years ago, as a new believer, would read it, it caused me almost to be afraid a little bit. And I think it's so important, again, before we read the passage, that you first of all you remember Jesus, when he was reading it, he was the last Old Testament prophet, in a sense. And what the Old Testament prophets were doing, they had to show people that without a supernatural intervention of God, they are condemned. The law was to show man that he can never measure up to God's standard. And so in a sense, the New Testament only started when Jesus died on the cross. Like in the Bible, we call the New Testament when Jesus was born and so on and so forth. But legally, it was only once Jesus died on the cross and his blood was shed. That's when the new covenant started. The old covenant was a covenant of rules and regulation, and it brought condemnation. And David and other people, they somehow realized that with this law keeping, you can never be right with God. And they found the grace of God before it was even released. So God, see, he lives outside of time. And that's why they tapped into something that wasn't there yet and experienced it already. But the new covenant started when Jesus shed his blood for you and me. Amen. And so Jesus, in a sense, he is still ministering the law. And I think you have to keep that in mind. And that's why sometimes it feels like we feel condemned when we read it. But no, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So here it is. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. The context is Jesus talks about the last days. They were asking him, the Pharisees were asking him before, when is the kingdom coming? How will it look? And Jesus says, it will not be an outside observation. It is within the kingdom, right? But he says, it will be as in the days of Noah. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them. So let's just pause, leave that verse on if you could. So they ate, they drank, they married. Where do you identify in this scripture when you read that? With who? Or are you identify with the ones that eat or the ones that drink or the ones that married? Maybe Josh and Ashley. That's it. Until the day that Noah, or do you identify with Noah? Because I feel that's important when I read the scriptures. Who do I want to identify with? See, Noah was called a righteous man. It says Noah walked with God. So I want to identify with Noah. And then the flood came and destroyed him. Let's go to the next verse. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. If I just want to remind you of the story of Lot. He was the nephew of Abraham. It says he was righteous, but even with Lot and with Noah, with both of them, they really had some issues. Because even after their righteous acting on God's word and doing the right thing, they had, I don't even want to tell you what they did. It's embarrassing. It's R-rated. Not really. But see, I think it's for our comfort, right? See, it's not, like I said, we all can act up and do the wrong thing. But what God is after, he says every day his grace is new. And what he is after is a people that can put the past behind them and say, God, today I want to surrender. Today I want to hear your voice and I want to walk with you. Whatever you say, I will do. And somehow Lot and Noah, they both had that heart. Because you can see in their lives, they acted on what God said or wanted them to do. Let's read on. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So God, he looked at Sodom. It was so terrible. And he just, in order to create a human race that could actually receive a savior and be born again, and then he would have a family born out of that would live with him in glory for all eternity. He saw if he would allow this wickedness to increase, it would destroy the whole plan. So in his mercy, in his love, in his compassion, he had no other choice than to destroy the whole city. He had to make an example out of them. It's not, I really believe it hurt God's heart. That was not something that he was mad and did it in a violent outrage. I think that was a mercy act of God because he sees the whole picture. But somehow Abraham pleaded with God and so Lot got rescued. Let's read on. Even so it will be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. The next verse. In that day he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. And so Jesus now goes on in this passage, talking about that last day, that moment of time, when suddenly, from one second to the other, the age of grace is finished, and the new age will start, an eternity with God, where suddenly darkness and light will be separated. Because right now it's very close by. If I just a little shadow and darkness is there immediately. No matter where you go, if you block the light out, darkness is there immediately. But there comes a time when darkness is blocked away. And that's in our life too. If you shadow yourself from God's light just for a moment, you're so quickly able and prompt to do the wrong thing. And it's shocking. You sometimes think, whoa, am I really born again? It's because this is the time we are in. There is so much demonic influence around us that constantly wants to draw us into the wrong direction. But the time will come when that moment of time, when Jesus will be revealed in majesty and there will be a separation. And so he talks about that time, and what I sense the picture he's painting is the person, the people that have heard God's call and have acted on it. They will move in a certain direction, and even though this something is happening, they will not run back trying to save something from their past. And I feel that that's the word of the Lord today, to stir us up, to really say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to receive your mandate for this day. Show me which direction I am to go. Show me where to engage. You know, is it Young Life? Is it Wholeness for Christ? Is it Healing Rooms? Is it Worship Team? There's a certain focus. There is a general lifestyle we live. There's many different levels of commitment and hearing God and walking out our salvation. But I believe it starts with that place where we say, Lord, I surrender. And I want to hear your voice. And no matter what happens, I will not sway from it. Till that moment comes when darkness is separated from light, and I will be with you. Let's read on. Remember, how far did I want to go? Yeah, 36. Oh, we can read on. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, and the other left. So there is a clear indication of separation. There is an urgency in this passage. And just going back to Noah, for example. What did Noah hear? God spoke to Noah. I wonder how God spoke to Noah. Noah must have known suddenly, I need to build this boat. And he acted on it. And then he built for, was it 100 years? I'm not sure. It was a long season. I really believe it was 100 years. Or 30 years. Anybody? Scholars? No? But I really believe it was 100 years. Can you imagine? 100 years on some imaginative work. Bystanders would have sobbed. He builds this huge boat on dry ground. Then he fills it with food and hay and water. And then he gets all these animals. And then suddenly the rain comes and he's gone, right? But the key is, he acted on what God spoke. He started moving in that direction. He wasn't moved, even though he didn't see any results for many, many years. He kept on going in that direction. And I feel that's God's heart for us, that we receive God's voice into our life and start